Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Floor on Monday, the 1st of November, recording at 9:12 p.m., and that's British Standard Time. First, a quick look at the highlights here today. The Asian stock markets were quite firm, with the exception of Japan, which was down 0.5%. The China indices were among the biggest leaders, and the ASEAN group was... Steady once again. Long dated government bond prices seesawed a little bit. U.S. Treasury bonds were quite firm early on in the day, but then reversed those gains and traded down. The U.S. dollar was soft initially, but then firmed a little bit. That paired gains in metal prices, particularly precious metals, although gold still managed well. No, sorry, gold eased back a little bit, closing at when trading now, I should say, after hours at 1352.65. It had been up over 1360. And elsewhere, crude oil was firm and is currently just under $83. Industrial metals were mostly firmer, but as I mentioned, gains were paired somewhat as the dollar firmed. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, in terms of overall price action, stock markets are really quite steady, but they have seen a loss of upward momentum in recent weeks. Most of them have, at any rate. And the focus of this week's interest is really on the U.S. election and, more importantly, what the Fed actually says on Wednesday regarding the second quantitative easing program. I think that's mostly been fairly well discounted, in that the Fed has been moderating expectations somewhat, I believe, but those two events will still have capacity to cause some possible volatility in market action generally. But overall, I think this is a pause and consolidation for most stock markets within what remains a cyclical bull phase, and a cyclical bull market, I'll add, just to state it a little bit more firmly. It's been led by Fuller Money themes all along, but there are very few stock markets that aren't performing, and those that aren't performing have significant problems. Greece is an example, and that continues to bumble along somewhere near the bottom. But Greece, whatever happens in Greece, that's not an earth-shattering event for the rest of the world. And the overall evidence that we get from stock markets, as I say, is bullish and remains bullish and very much led by those Fuller Money themes, which include Asian-led emerging markets, South American emerging markets. They also include leading multinational technology stocks. Global infrastructure themes are among them, and mining. Okay, what about these long-dated government bonds? My overall feeling is that the 30-year bull market has really, is very much in its last throes, and therefore that we are in the early stages, I believe, of what will be a new secular bear market for long-dated government bond prices. In other words, yields are finally bottoming out after nearly 30 years on the downside. And the short to medium to longer term outlook, I think, is for higher long-dated government bond yields. I feel the greatest uncertainty is over the short term, because it's not impossible that quantitative easing could keep bond yields long-dated government bond yields lower for longer, if that's what the Fed and the ECB, perhaps, and other central banks wished to do in terms of further quantitative easing. That wouldn't make a great deal of sense to me, but they've done it before, and it remains possible. Now, I will say, having said that, I think that the 30-year bull market in long-dated government bonds is ending or over. That means a new bear market is commencing. But I did feel a few years ago that the bond market bull phase had ended then. But the financial crisis that we saw in the West certainly breathed new life into that bull run on the back of all the deflation and depression fears, which were actually the consequences of which we've actually seen. Step forward, Ben Bernanke, once again, and here's a man who's determined that the U.S. will not experience a deflationary spiral similar to, or deflationary slough similar to what we see in Japan, and I take him at his word, but it'll be at a cost, and the cost, I feel, is future inflation, and certainly we've already seen a weaker U.S. dollar, and so that has reduced purchasing power overall, and I think we are also going to see at least some stagflation and some future inflation, and that will be led by commodity prices rather than wages. Now, in terms of market activity, how do we actually play it? Well, I still like the fuller money themes because interest rates remain low. In terms of long-dated government bonds, I'm only interested in short positions. Investors who would rather join a clear trend in motion may wish to sit out what I suspect is the base building phase in the long-dated government bonds and wait until a clearly identifiable upward trend in interest rates has occurred before joining the overall trend on the basis that it should have a good many years to actually run. I myself hold and manage some small short positions that have mainly been in U.S. 30-year treasuries, and I'll probably concentrate in that area rather than spreading my participation across a lot of different long-dated government bond markets. But I'm not aggressively short. That's the main point that I should make. Now, in terms of commodities, how does one participate in the commodity inflation? Well, via commodity shares, that's one way, or directly in the commodities in terms of trades, whether that's in spread bets, or directly via futures trading firms. But my feeling is that this will remain an interesting, albeit volatile, area for quite some time. My bigger positions currently are in the corn market, and I also have some wheat. I think these markets have to be traded reasonably actively. I took some profits today in the lumber market just because it had gone up over consecutive days and has reached a new recovery high in here today at 286.30. That was the close on spot lumber. And I think, again, the industrial metals, which I have participated in somewhat, but much less aggressively, because we've been seeing very solid gains in this sector really since the strong medium-term run of this cycle, the latest strong medium-term run of this cycle commenced in September 2009. But my positions currently are in the palladium and platinum markets, which I feel are a little less crowded than gold. But again, gold remains very much within its overall upward trend, and I don't see anything technically that suggests anything other than this is the secular bull market that Owen and I have been forecasting for over a decade now, and that it has further to go, and it'll probably end in some form of mania, but that may well be several years away. The most important commodity to keep an eye on is crude oil. Closed tonight at 82.95, following an earlier high on the day at 83.86. That's taking it up to the higher side of a narrow trading range within a very broad trading band between approximately 70 and 85. And it looks to me as if we're going to get an upward break over the medium term, if not over the short term. Now, if we get a spike upwards in oil prices, that will certainly knock some of the froth off what have been these very firm stock markets, and I think it would also worry the global bond markets quite considerably. That hasn't happened yet, but we have to watch out for it. It is a real possibility. A more orderly backing and filling gradual rise in the oil price would cause considerably less concern. One hopes for that, but of course the market doesn't care what I hope for or anyone else. The broad trading range that we do see in the crude oil price, for those who have attended the chart seminar, will know that broad trading ranges tend to thin out supply above the range and demand below the range. And therefore, once the market moves out of that, once price moves out of that clearly defined trading range, it tends to run quite persistently in the direction of the breakout. And again, that remains a real possibility for crude oil prices. Can the world cope with $100 oil? Well, yes, although I think it would be a headwind. The answer, yes, is because that would partly reflect a devalued US dollar. But if we see another spike, anything like the move that we saw in 2008, when oil moved, gold was moving up as well, but oil moved very persistently up towards $147, and that would increase the risk of certainly recession in the Western economies and slower GDP growth in the fuller money theme economies that are doing so well at present. So, we're still in a favorable environment overall, but we can see the storm clouds building. And when I receive a lot of emails, as we have been, with investors saying how much they're enjoying the service and how they're making a great deal of money, Owen and I are, of course, immensely gratified to see that. And we congratulate you on seizing your opportunities. But it also contains a warning, and that we have been enjoying a very purple patch in here due to the persistent strength of a number of stock markets and commodity markets. And that doesn't go on forever. And I think that we should be thinking in terms of at least a medium-term correction at some point in the not too distant future. I don't think it's begun yet, although we are seeing a small consolidation. But forewarned is forearmed, and when markets are doing their very best, it's usually a good idea to take some money out of the high-flying positions and either put it in some of the laggards or keep it in cash. And on that note, all the best to all of you.